Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. How are you? Nice to talk to you today. Nice to meet you. Saturday, September 3rd. I can't believe it's September 3rd already. Wow. Good to talk to you. Knowing the Economy of God is the name of my program. I'm Tom Meglia, financial planner, financial coach, and as my wife would say, the financial advisor with the face for radio. So how about that? I remember Julie said, Tom, you got to tell them you've got that. You're the financial planner with the face for radio. Okay, there you go. The program, Knowing the Economy of God, right out of the Bible with a application and understanding about how to apply God's principles, his economy, to our normal life, our everyday life. And that's what Knowing the Economy of God is. And that's what I teach on and help people with their finances, their planning. I've been doing this a long time, 28 years now, and it's amazing just how much I've learned and people I work with are learning too about what God's economy is. And God's economy basically is the Bible. It's the Bible in the area of money, finances, talents, treasure, time, and everything else God has given us that he is the true and only owner of, and for us to learn and to grow in him. That's God's economy. So if you have a chance, go to my website, The show is titled Knowing the Economy of God. The website is theeconomyofgod.com. So if you'd like to hear past programs, you're able to click on the audio site of the website, theeconomyofgod.com, and you can hear past programs. And I am so excited to talk to you today. I'm a chartered financial consultant, registered investment advisor, accredited estate planner, and I have a master's of science in financial services. And I've been doing this a long time, as I mentioned. I'm also a Crown Financial Ministries referral coach. I get calls almost every day, except weekends, from people out there in the KKLA audience who need a budget coach, financial coach, that kind of thing. And Crown Financial Ministries has referred many people to me for personal one-on-one counseling and coaching. So today, let's get back into the four anchors of God's economy. The last few weeks, I've been talking about God's economy. What are the four anchors? And then let's focus on one anchor at a time so we can learn about the Bible, learn about Scripture, and understand what are the economic principles in God's economy and how can we apply those to our life, our normal and average everyday living, to serve God and glorify God in the area of our finances and money issues, that kind of thing, time, talents, treasures, and so on. Now, one thing that we've talked about before, I think it's worth mentioning again, just what are the four anchors of God's economy? The four anchors, as I see it, as I understand it, in all the years I've studied God's word, especially in the area of one specialty, finances, are the following. God is the owner. That's anchor number one. Number two, that makes us the steward, the role of the servant, the steward. And number three, the third anchor, is we cannot be good stewards of God, for God, in his economy, if we are not practicing loving and cheerful, even sacrificial giving. And fourth, contentment is an important anchor. It's the fourth anchor. We need to learn to live as contented Christians, Christians that are content with what they have, serving the Lord, trusting him to provide for their needs. Those four anchors are critical because we can't learn God's economy knowing three and not the fourth, knowing two and not all four, or having one without the others. We need to learn and to be proficient in practicing all four anchors of God's economy in our normal life. Now, why would we want to do that? Because Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ also is our Lord. And our Lord, meaning we do what he tells us to do. That's Lordship. We die to ourselves. We're alive to Christ through the Holy Spirit. We must make Jesus Lord. We can't say he's our Savior and just ignore everything that Jesus said to do. And the Bible is clear about what it says to do, about God's economy, and how we can bring honor to God and bless others, help others, give to others, be a blessing to our families and people that don't know the Lord. And we're acting, as I mentioned last week, the garden hose. We're spraying God's love, God's water, all throughout the world and wherever we live. And this isn't just for Americans, by the way. It's not just for American citizens. I know some people, even I at times, think, oh, this is, you know, for us Americans, us English-speaking people in the United States. But that's not true. The Bible is written for anyone, everywhere, any place. So I think that's very important. So let's get back into God's economy. Anchor number one, God is the one and true and sole owner, completely, 100%. Now, where do we find the scriptures that say this? Okay, basically, they're right here. First of all, I'd like to tell you about Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, for he founded it upon the oceans and established it upon the waters. The book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 22:2. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Boy, these are some powerful verses that remind us that God is the one and only true owner of everything. 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You're exalted as head over all. And that is just so awesome. These scriptures are great. They, even if you never call me for financial planning, these scriptures and the music, I'm hoping that it blesses you. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. That is a great verse. You know, we look at the verse, we cite the scriptures, and we say, okay, what is the economic principle we're to learn from this? Well, basically, God is the owner. As a Christian, Tom Meglia does not own anything. God owns everything. Tom is the servant for God of what God owns, including Tom, his assets, which are truly God's and only God's, talent, time, everything. God's ownership of all things, I believe, gives him the right to demand an accountability from us, an accounting from me. Okay, that's one of the economic principles to back up the scriptures that prove that God is the one and true owner, the only owner. And another, I think, a great economic principle to back that up about God being the owner and he has the right to demand accountability from me and from you and from all of us is that he has the control. God is not only the owner, but he has the control. He has control over everything. And that's where the 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12 passages come in. Okay? He is in control. He has the control, which I know is true. And remember, we must understand that it's a sin. Yes, it's a sin. I'm willing to say that to the radio audience. It's a sin to not give up ownership of everything we are and have to Almighty God for his purposes. And if we think that he is not the one and only true owner of everything, that also is a sin. I state that to you, and I welcome any calls or discussion on it, but that's an economic principle we need to know and understand before we can move forward. It's very important. God is the owner, and we need to act that out in our life to prove lordship to Christ of everything that we have under what we think is in our control but really isn't, but what we can do with his time, talents, and treasures that he's entrusted to us for his purposes. These economic principles, my friends, they follow the scriptures, which follow anchor number one in God's economy, that he is the one and true only owner. It's not joint tenancy, God and Tom, God and you, 80% God, 20% me, you know, none of that kind of thing. It's all God. Has to be. The Bible says so. And that proves number one anchor, the first anchor. God is the one and true only owner. So we cited the scriptures. We know the economic principles, and we need to live this out. Now, a couple of thought-provoking questions I'd like to bring to you before we go to the break. And I just feel like here's some good questions that could kind of shake us up a little bit. Is Jesus Christ Lord of the financial area of my life, as in other areas. Okay, he's my Savior, but is he my Lord of all the areas of my life? So am I dying to myself and being alive in Christ? But is he the Lord of the financial area of my life? And after the break, we'll talk about how do you know or recognize that is if Jesus is Lord. Also, in my mind, in my heart, in my actions, am I submitting control of my finances to Jesus, to the Lord? Am I submitting control? Or do I believe that I'm owner? And what I do with my money, so-called my, says if I believe he's the owner, Almighty God, or me. What we do says what we believe and what we really think. Okay, we're coming up to the break. By the way, I love the music. Bonnie Moore from Monrovia, California, plays a great harp. Her website, bonnieharpsong.com. So go to her website. It's cool. You can hear more of the harp on her website, bonnieharpsong.com. After the break, we'll talk more.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back. Boy, do I love that music. Puts me in a great mood to worship the Lord. You know, a couple of things we talked about before the break were giving up control, surrendering ownership, you know, making Jesus Lord of the financial area of our life, as in other areas. I think that's really cool. A couple of more thoughts just to back up that those thoughts. What we do with our finances, think about this, and our time and our talents says what we really believe about who's the boss, me or the Lord. And I think there's encouragement, and that's grace. There's always a second chance and a 72nd chance and a 772nd chance to make wise changes toward trusting God and obeying. And the blessings are going to follow, no question. Blessings always follow submission and obedience to God in His economy, although they may be intangible. In fact, that's probably what's best for us, isn't it? Intangible blessings, learning patience, becoming more Christ-centered, the image of God. That's better than the tangible blessings. We don't always think that, do we? But they are. Blessings will follow, but they may be intangible. But that will affirm what we're doing is right and trusting God. So I think that's cool. It's great. I love it. Okay, let's go forward. Now, in the recipe that I understand how God's economy works, we cite the scriptures, state the economic principles, And then before we pray, which would be the fourth part of the recipe, we need to hit the third part of the recipe, and that's application. Let's talk about application. Now, as I do that every week, you might have noticed I've been talking about real-life people that I've counseled and coached. Now, just so you know, we always change the names to protect the innocent. We always change a few things about the story, not the facts, but the individuals. We don't want to break anyone's privacy or confidentiality. Remember that show a long time ago? I remember when I in the 60s, Dragnet. The names and identities of the individuals of the stories have been changed to protect the innocent. I remember that show, Dragnet. It was so funny. I remember in the 60s I was watching it, and I thought, why do they change the names to protect the innocent? Well, now I know. I'm going to give you a story about a fella, and I'm going to call him Dave. His name is not Dave, but we don't want to tell all of the facts about his person because it's protective, and he did give me permission to talk about his circumstances. He used to work for a big Fortune 500 company in the technology world. Amazing. He rose to the top. He was very ambitious. He has a wife who, Dave's 51 now, and his wife's 49. They have three kids, all girls, all teenage girls, 13, 15, and 17. So I'm telling you a little bit about the story of the things that he said I could say and talk about to edify people that were listening. He did not work for a certain kind of company I'm thinking of, but it was a Fortune 500 company, a big blue chip company. But his background was interesting. He wasn't a believer until only about 4 or 5 years ago. And he was very ambitious, very greedy, very self-made. He was into him, into his work. Everything was about Dave. His wife was a Christian when he met her and married her. He was not. He did become a believer a few years ago, about three and a half years ago. So kind of interesting. She married an unbeliever. But they loved each other, and he was ambitious, and he could provide for her, and she liked that. And now they've got three daughters, teenage daughters. How about that? How many of you out there can say you have three teenage daughters, 13, 15, 17? Pretty challenging, huh? But it was interesting because Dave would always say to me when I first met him, Tom, I've done this, I've done that. I went up the company ladder. I grew. I made a ton of money. Look what I've accumulated. All about Dave. And the more Dave made in money and higher position at this big company, the more he felt good about himself. It was all about Dave. Dave owned it. Dave did it. Dave achieved it. He was responsible for his own success. Well, things started happening when Dave became a Christian. And sometimes this does happen. His marriage to Janet seemed a little bit more distant than it was. They had changed a lot. He just wasn't. You know, he was staying married. He was keeping his vow to stay married, but his heart and his mind and his body and his presence weren't always in the same place. But he was thinking, you know, if I can become president of this company, I will have really arrived. I will have made it. His ego was always on the line with his job performance, his job title, promotions, 401k plans, net worth, assets, everything. But the more I talked to Dave about what God's word was, and I never pounded Dave with this. He became a Christian. He heard about me through a friend. He gave me a phone call. We started the coaching. And I started talking to Dave about his walk with God and how he became a believer, a born-again believer. And he had said to me that, you know, it wasn't enough. The world wasn't giving him enough. It just wasn't happening. And he was thinking, Tom, there's got to be more than this. And I thought, well, let's talk about it. Have you read these scriptures? Nope. Do you know what God's economy is? No. No one ever told me or taught me. So we started getting into some of the scriptures that we've talked about in earlier programs, some of the ones we discussed today, and more. But we talked about the first anchor, obviously, first. And I said, Dave, do you really believe as a Christian that you are the owner of all these things, this fancy job title, your beautiful office in downtown Los Angeles, your assets, your net worth, and you've done great. No question about it. But what about this verse in Deuteronomy that says, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gave you the ability to gain wealth. That's the one that really blew him away. He thought, no, he did it, not God. So he wrestled and wrestled. I think it took us about 9 months of meeting at Starbucks and Coco's and places like that to talk and coach and go back and forth and counsel. Long story short, Dave finally realized, yes, God gave it to Dave, allowed Dave to accumulate all of these things. And he started really being, I don't know, a humbled man, a more humbled person, which I know his wife Janet really appreciated. Things started clicking more in his life. It was stressing him out, though, to try to climb the corporate ladder. It was just hard. It was too much. It was getting to him. It owned him, if you know what I mean. He didn't own it. It owned him, this strive for presidency and validating his self-esteem. Very interesting. You know, God's first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no false gods before me. I am the Lord your God. Me first, God first. No false gods ahead of God. That's the first commandment. And Dave agreed that he had messed up. He wasn't thinking about it. But I'll tell you, we created with Janet, his wife, a new family financial plan based on scripture, based on God's economy. And it's really been working. We brought his children into the plan to talk to them, to explain to them what they were doing and why. It may have meant, and it did, giving up some of the frills and thrills of what kids like, you know, fashion, clothes, certain cars, but it was good. It was bringing the family in the forefront of financial issues and God's economy, and it was working. It was getting them to talk. It was helping. I think Dave started giving more to God. Him and Janet started releasing more water into God's kingdom, so to speak, surrendering control. It was really incredible. I know one of Dave's favorite verses, Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. You, O God, will not despise. I love that verse too, Psalm 51:17. So Dave started surrendering, started being broken and not finding his self-worth, his personal esteem in his position at work or his assets and net worth, financial worth, that kind of thing. And that's one of the good qualities of releasing ownership, is that we're not identifying ourselves with all of those things, title, position, marital status, net worth. And that's good. That was drawing him closer to God. And in turn, he started realizing he didn't need to prove anything to anybody. And that's another really interesting blessing that God gave him by turning over ownership and control to God about his financial life and his work life. Very interesting. And some things I noted at our last coffee with Dave is he started seemingly, and I asked him, do you feel more peace of mind? Do you feel more relief? He said, Tom, I do. And one verse I read in the Bible, Tom, that you mentioned to me is the freedom. And that comes when the truth, God's truth, does set you free. And it's true. The truth does set us free once we know what it is and we learn through prayer and guidance from God on how to apply God's truth. And it does free us up. It makes us feel better because we're just not so hung up on the money, on the net worth, job title, trying to prove to everybody how important we are. And I think Dave's really found some freedom. Was it from me? No. It was from God, God's word. Was I the training wheels a little bit? Yeah. He was riding the bike. I was acting as the training wheels in some respects. But his self-esteem's in Christ. His security is in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that, and he is working on it. Sometimes he falls back, but he's getting there. Good for him. Good for his family. You know, I pray for him. And I'll pray for you right now as we close. Give me a call, though, 800-386-3700, or go to the website, theeconomyofgod.com, and learn how God's economy can change your life to bring honor to God and learn how to apply his financial principles to your practical life. Lord, thank you for this day. Praise you, Jesus. Bless the listener. Help us to learn your word and apply it, because you're Lord Jesus of our financial life as in other areas of our life. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In your name, Jesus, amen. Goodbye. We'll see you next time, 2 o'clock on Saturdays. Take care.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. 386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.